Johnny, I don't like this. Something tells me we should have ought to minded our own business.
Look, Sam, helping a damsel in distress is your business, my business, everybody's business.
Oh, what's a damsel?
It's, well, a dame.
Okay, then it's your business. I want no part of it.
Yes, it's time for another Johnny Fletcher Mystery. Brought to you by the National Broadcasting Company. And starring Albert Decker as Johnny Fletcher and Mike Mazurki as Sam Cragg in Frank Gruber's best-selling murder mystery, The Navy Colt. Mid-afternoon, and we find Johnny and Sam on a busy street in New York making a fast pitch, their customary method of earning an honest dollar whenever they're broke, which they usually are.
Ladies and gentlemen, your attention, please. You see here the strongest man in the world, my pal and partner, Sam Cragg. A short time ago, Sam was a puny weakling who weighed only 98 pounds. Now look at him, a magnificent specimen of manhood, 6 feet five, 250 pounds of brawn and brawn. As evidence of his enormous strength, Sam is going to fill his mighty lungs with air and snap that 2-inch log chain wrapped about his chest. Are you ready, Sam?
Yeah.
Then go on and break it, my boy, and let the links fall where they may. Observe, ladies and gentlemen, the ease with which he pulls apart that symbol of slavery. For the love of Pete, bust it.
I'm trying to, Johnny. You must have made that link too strong.
There you are, my friends. There you are. A miracle of strength has been performed before your very eyes. A broken chain lies at my feet. A man, a real man, has released himself from the fetters of masculine weakness. Ladies and gentlemen, you too can be marvels of strength like Sam Cragg. This book of mine, every man a
Ixnay, Samson. Ixnay. Here comes that cop again.
Where?
Other side of the street.
Oh, sorry, ladies and gentlemen. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen. Let's get out of here, Sam.
What a life. A man can't try to make an honest living anymore but what some flatfoot crabs the act.
You know something, Johnny?
No, what?
We wouldn't be broke all the time if you was to stick to one thing or another. Why, you got brains. You got the gift of gab. And you got me.
A three-way handicap, if I ever heard one.
No fooling, Johnny. You got all the makings of a big business typhoon. Why don't we decide either to be a businessman or an amateur detective? One or the other. But not both.
Go on, Sam. You interest me strangely.
Oh, nuts. You know what I mean, Johnny. But it happens continuous all the time. We get a good start selling books or some kind of business that looks easy. And what pursues? Somebody gets their throat cut or found dead in a trunk or something. And you horn your way into the act.
That's my way of having fun.
I know, Johnny. But a guy can't have much fun on an empty stomach. And that's what usually happens. We got nothing else but... Johnny, something tells me we're being followed.
Oh,
hello, miss.
May I speak to you a moment, sir?
Why not?
Well, I saw you gentlemen break that chain back there, so you must be awfully strong.
Oh, you want to buy a book, huh? Get one out, Sam.
Oh, no, not a book. Do you gentlemen want to earn $10?
Lady, right now for $10, I'd go over Niagara Falls in a mustache cup. Now, how do we earn the sawbuck?
No, Johnny, no. This is like the way it always starts.
You're right, Sam. Sorry, sister. Some other time, maybe.
Oh, please. You gentlemen must help me.
Look, sister... Let's get this straight. We're not gentlemen. I'm just a guy named Johnny Fletcher, and this rugged character is Sam Cragg, my pal.
I'm happy to know you, Mr. Fletcher and Mr. Cragg. My name is Hilda Nelson.
Oh, yeah? Where do you live?
Park Avenue.
Park Avenue? Well, is that anything to feel bad about? Well, Park Avenue is just another word for millionaire.
Oh, I know what you mean, but honestly, $10 is all I can give you.
Say, how did you get those nasty-looking bruises?
Well, I'd rather not say.
You mean somebody did that?
Yes. That's why I asked if you wanted to earn $10.
Why didn't you say so in the first place? Now, what is it you want us to do?
Uh-oh, here we go again.
You mean you'll do it?
Yep, you've talked us into it.
Oh, thank you. Well, here's the dollar down.
Oh, thank you. And what are we supposed to do in return for this shower of wealth?
I want you to go to 205 East 63rd Street, Mr. Maxwell's apartment. It's on the 12th floor. You just ring the doorbell.
Oh, sure. I'm quite a hand with doorbell. Is that all?
No. When Mr. Maxwell opens the door, I want you to hit him just as hard as you can, right on the nose.
Oh, that sounds like fun, doesn't it, Sam? Anything else?
Yes. As you hit him, I want you to say, Hilda sends this with her compliments.
Oh, better and better. But I'll let Sam hit him. He hits harder than I do, don't you, Sam?
Oh, now listen, Johnny,
Never mind. A man that'll abuse a girl ought to get the stuffings knocked out of him.
Just on the nose will be enough. Oh, but I want proof that you did it.
Oh, sure. I'll bring you Sam's bruised knuckle. That do?
No, that won't be quite enough.
Any suggestions?
Well, let me see. Mr. Maxwell always wears red neckties. Ugly red ones. That's it. Bring me one of his red neckties. Then I'll give you the other $9.
A bust in the nose, a red necktie. Then where do we meet you to get the other $9?
Well, how soon can you finish the assignment?
Oh, Sam and I haven't any really pressing engagements at the moment.
Very well. I'll meet you at the Grand Central Station in an hour.
Here it is. James Maxwell. Ring the bell, Sam. Now, remember. Remember, when he sticks his puss out, let him have it.
Man, what do you guys want?
Now, Sam, now. You heard that, Johnny?
Oh, nothing that a couple of hospitals and a bunch of doctors can't fix. Help me up, Sam.
White-eyed rat in cheap clothing. Hitting a guy when he ain't looking. I'll fix him.
Oh, you had your chance, Sam. He won't come out again.
Okay, I'll bust the door down.
So you two jerks want more of the same, huh?
Look out, Sam. He's got a gun.
Grab the gun while I hold him.
Okay. There you go. I clear. I got it.
Now I'll suck it. Here you are, fella. Hilda sends this with her compliments. Now get in there.
That was a narrow squeak.
I guess he didn't shoot you. I don't see no blood.
Of course he shot me, you lunk. Right through the coat sleeve. Look at that hole.
Gee. Oh, well, maybe you can get it rewove. Remember that sport coat that I had? What?
Yes, sir. Who shut the door down the hall?
I don't know.
Somebody's been getting an eyeful. No telling who saw us. We gotta get out of here. Let's don't keep Hilda waiting.
This is John Storm. You're listening to The Navy Colt, a Johnny Fletcher mystery. But before we rejoin Johnny and Sam, you would place your first sales message here. You have presented the first of your sales messages, so we return to our own job of selling you the Johnny Fletcher mystery series. We catch up with Johnny Fletcher and his pal Sam Cragg at the Grand Central Station, where they were to meet Hilda Nelson and collect an additional $9 for hitting, as Miss Nelson so naively put it, a certain Mr. James Maxwell on the nose.
That's grand, Johnny. The kid ain't gonna show up. I'm tired sitting here. And besides, I'm hungry.
So am I.
You got enough to eat on?
Well, not great big baskets full.
Hey, maybe we can hike that gun you took off Maxwell. And he done that a couple of times.
Could be. It's big enough.
Yeah, what a rod. Must be 2 feet long. I never seen one that big before.
Neither did I, except in a museum. It's what they call a Navy Colt.
Colt? It looked growed up to me.
Sam, a Colt is a revolver. You know, what's got me puzzled is this microfilm I found in one of the chambers of the gun.
What is that stuff?
Well, it looks like a photostatic copy of some legal documents.
You took the words right out of me mouth.
They must be important. After we collect our $9 from Hilda, we'll take them to a photographer and have them blow them up big enough to read.
Uh-oh. Look who's here.
Oh, I'm so sorry I'm late. I was afraid you'd leave.
No, we like it here.
Well, did you stalk him?
Sister, how can you ask? Look at this thing I used to call a jaw.
Oh, dear.
Hey, what about our $9?
Well, did you get the red necktie?
Red necktie? Red necktie? Sam, did we get his red necktie?
Nah, he wasn't wearing no necktie.
That's right, lady. Please, the $9.
But that's what I came to tell you. I couldn't get the rest of the money.
Uh-oh.
I'm sorry, really, I am. Here, I'll write a check.
Oh, not for me, sister.
Why not?
A check means getting identified. And getting identified means, you get it?
Yeah.
Well, come on, Sam, let's eat. Goodbye, Hilda, dear. Nice to have had the pleasure of your...
Gee, with that big bundle of chow in me, I'm a new man.
Don't tell me you're not going to have another piece of pie.
No, I'll fill up clear up to here.
Cigarette?
Thanks.
Hold the light.
Sure. Here you are. You know, Johnny, you did all right hocking that old gun for $4. Funny speed it gives that old guy about it belongs to your grandfather. Present from Jesse James. You really think him up.
Paper, mister, read all about the East Side killing.
Yeah, here's something.
Thanks, mister. Read all about the big murder. Read all about it. Paper here. It's the latest edition. Paper.
Uh-oh. Hold on to your chair, Sam.
What goes?
Get a load of this. James Maxwell, 205 East 63rd Street, was found dead in his apartment late today. According to the police, his death resulted from a gunshot.
Hey, that's the guy we popped.
And listen to this. Miss Cornelia Spatz, living in an adjoining apartment, told the officers she was an eyewitness to the killing.
Say, that's who slammed the door right down the hall.
Hey, how do you like this? Miss Spatz testified that one of the men was tall and slender with dark hair. Tall and slender with dark hair. And the other was a huge hulk of a man, about 6'4", weighing about 250...
The nerve of that dame. Saying I'm 6'4". I'm 6'5".
Let's see what else they know. The police say, continued on page 4. There it is. An old-time Navy Colt revolver is missing from a gun rack on the wall and may have been the murder weapon. They are scouring the city for such a gun, which may provide a clue to the killers. Come on, we got to move fast.
Where are we going?
Get the gun out of hock before the cops beat us to it. It's got our fingerprints all over.
What an alley. Black as your hat.
Yeah. Come on! Open up!
Maybe the old guy don't live in the back.
Yes, he does. There goes a light. Here he comes. The Navy Colt man. I want to get the gun out of Hart. No. I keep dreaming about Indians. And I got to go back and shoot them.
I'm in.
Let's make this fast, will you, Pop? Here's your $4.
Getting me up out of such a nice sound sleep. Here's $4 it comes to.
All right, here's your $4 and here's your ticket.
I'm glad to get rid of this thing. It scares me to look at it.
See you later, Pop.
I hope not.
Gee, I never seen an alley so black.
Yeah, pretty dark.
Hey, Johnny, I forgot our newspaper. I left it laying there on the counter in the hock shop.
Oh, let it go.
Oh, no. I got to go back and get it.
What for?
I ain't read the funnies.
Oh, for the love of Pete. All right. I'll wait here for you.
Hey, Pop, don't lock up yet. I forgot the funnies.
What a character. At a time like this, he forgets the funnies.
Hey, Bert, get a match?
Yeah, guess so. Where'd you come from so quick?
Never mind, Dad. You see what this is, fella?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a gun. Anybody could tell that. Stick up, huh?
That's right.
Well, if it's dough you're after, chum, I'm broke.
Take it easy. All I want's that Navy Colt.
Sure. Help yourself.
Okay, bud. Here's your payment.
Hey, Johnny. Where are you?
Over here. A guy stuck me up.
Which way did he go? I'll go get him.
No, don't go after him. All he got was our gun.
What's any guy want with that old broken-down horse pistol?
Sam, do you believe in ghosts?
Huh? Ghost? Well, kind of. I'm human, I guess.
Why? The guy that held me up was James Maxwell. The man we're supposed to have murdered. Holy cow!
R-I-2-8-4-2-2.
How do you know that Tilda's number?
Gotta be. The only Nelson in the phone book on Park Avenue.
Kind of tough waking the kid up this time of the night.
Wake her up. She better wake up. I'll drag her over the head, a little double-crossing.
Hello?
This is Johnny Fletcher. I want to see you right away to have a talk.
Oh, why, that's absurd, Mr. Fletcher. I ought to hang up.
Smile when you say hang, sister. You got us in plenty of trouble.
Well, I didn't tell you to kill Mr. Maxwell.
Kill Mr. Maxwell? Are you screwy? Now, look. You meet us in the waiting room of the Grand Central Station in 1 hour.
But Mr. Fletcher is so late.
The Grand Central in 1 hour. And you better be there or else. Sit down, Miss Nelson. Sam, keep an eye out for anything that looks like a cop.
Okay.
Now, young lady, what was the idea of trying to frame me and Sam for the murder of this Maxwell guy?
Frame you? I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, yes, you do. You fixed it all up with a spat stain to poke a schnozzle out of a door in time to catch Sam and me doing your rough stuff.
Yes, I don't even know her.
Don't give me that. Sister, I want to run on a line. Who is this Maxwell and why did you want him socked?
Mr. Fletcher, I don't think
Look,
I...
Look, babe, this is no time to kid around. Any minute now, the cops are liable to move in on us, so spill it all. All of it. What about this Maxwell guy?
Mr. Fletcher, I've kept it all back for such a long time. It's going to be a relief to tell someone like you. I know I shouldn't.
Who was Maxwell?
Well, he was the son of a man who was once my father's business partner.
Well, why did you want Maxwell's sock?
He kept forcing me to give him money. Lots of money.
Blackmail, huh?
Yes.
Well, why did he hit you and put those bruises on you?
Because I couldn't get any more money for him. He was furious, so he began to beat me. I managed to get away. It was right after that I saw you and Mr. Craig.
You weren't ever in love with this baboon by any chance, were you?
In love with him? I despised him. I loathed him. I always have.
Well, how did he force you to give him the dough?
Well, he showed me a letter his father wrote when he was dying. It accused my father of killing his father.
Why was your father supposed to have killed him?
So my father could take over the business they started.
Well, who is your father and what business is he in?
He's Helmer Nelson, one of the biggest manufacturers of railroad ties in the country.
Oh, I see. Uh-huh. Well, why didn't you tell your father?
Oh, no, I couldn't do that. Mr. Maxwell said he'd kill Dad and me, too, if I ever did.
Hilda, there's something maybe you can explain. The man Sam and I socked was not the man who was killed.
What?
The man we thought was Maxwell, the guy we hit. Held me up last night and took a Navy Colt revolver away from me. The one I took from the guy I thought was Maxwell.
Honestly, Mr. Fletcher, I can't explain that. What kind of looking man was he?
Oh, a big gorilla about the size of Sam there. Had a red mustache and a scar across his forehead.
Well, why, that's Carl Streeter. He and Mr. Maxwell hated each other.
You sure your old man didn't suddenly get wise to what was going on?
I don't really know.
Who do you think killed Maxwell?
Carl Streeter.
You know where I can find him?
Yes. He lives at 804 West 14th Street. Why?
I'd better have a little talk with him. Come on, Sam, let's go.
Looks like Mr. Streeter ain't home. We better try again some other time.
Let me have that skeleton key.
Now, look, Johnny, that ain't honest. Here.
The inside of a hothouse. Shut the door, Sam.
Hey, that looks like our gun on that table.
Yeah. We'll take it along so he can't shoot us with it, like he did Maxwell.
Gee, Johnny, what if he used to barge in right now?
Shh. You think of the most unpleasant thing.
Look, that door's shut. Maybe he's in there.
Let's find out.
You think we'd better? This is housebreaking or something.
Open the door and quit pretending you're scared.
Who's pretending? Who's pretending? Hey, that's him on the bed. Looks like he's taking a nap.
Yeah, a good long one. The guy's dead. Look, he's been shot.
You are listening to The Navy Colt, a Johnny Fletcher mystery. Here is the place for your second sales message. You have completed your second sales message. Catching up with Johnny Fletcher and Sam Cragg next morning, we find them outside the apartment door of Cornelia Spatt, the woman who described them to the police as the killers of James Maxwell.
Johnny, I think you're nuts. Sticking your neck out like this.
Maybe so, but if this dame can really put the finger on it, it's going to be a tough winter. We got to find out.
But I'm worried.
So am I. Here's the apartment. Miss Cornelia Spatz.
Get out of sight.
Okay, but be careful.
How do you do, Miss Spatz?
Yes?
Miss Mallory down on the 10th floor asked me to be sure and see you. I'm selling nylons.
Nylons? Oh, my goodness, won't you come in, please?
Thank you. You were certainly busy with that typewriter, Miss Spatz.
Yes. I'm just finishing up a story.
Oh, a real author. What kind of stories do you write?
You'd never believe it of me, but they're about crime. Murders, mostly.
A charming young woman like you. Well, somehow you're just not the type.
Well, they're not exactly fiction stories. You see, I'm the New York correspondent for a Chicago magazine called Cunning Crimes. Uh-huh. They use short articles each month about actual crimes.
What crime are you writing about now?
Oh, I had such a wonderful experience. I witnessed a murder right out in the hall.
You actually saw the murderer?
Yes, indeedy. And I gave the police a perfect description of them. You know, one of them looked a teensy bit like you.
Like me?
Yes. But he wasn't nearly so good looking.
Oh, Miss Batch. I can hardly wait to read your story when it comes out. Now, how about the nylon? Shall I write up your order for, say, 6 pairs?
Oh, no, I'll take a dozen. And I'm sure I can get a lot more orders for you from the girls. You see, I'm president of the Pen and Eraser Club. We're all writers, you know. And they'll be simply thrilled to death when I tell them about you. I mean, selling nylon.
Oh, well, that's wonderful of you, Miss Batch.
How can I get in touch with you when I've seen the girls?
Oh, here, I'll write it down for you. Johnny Fletcher, Eagle Hotel.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Fletcher, and I'm awfully glad you stopped in. Goodbye. Oh,
goodbye, Miss Spat.
And do stop in again. Anytime.
Thank you. Well, that's a load off my mind.
Didn't recognize you, huh?
With those thick cheetahs over her eyes, that crackpot wouldn't recognize her own self in the mirror. Mr. Nelson, I'll get right to the point. You've been paying a lot of dough to a guy named Maxwell. The guy that got bumped off the other night.
There's only one answer to a stupid remark like that, Fletcher. Get out of my office or I'll have you thrown out.
Take it easy, Nelson. Whether you know it or not, your daughter got herself into one dilly of a mess, and what's more, she got me into it, too.
Just who are you and what do you want?
I told you. I'm the guy that got into a jam trying to help your daughter.
Ridiculous. I'm perfectly capable of giving my daughter any help she needs.
That's a laugh. Did you know that for years Hilda has been blackmailed by Maxwell?
Hilda, too? Why that...
Now, Mr. Nelson, don't speak ill of the dead. Especially when you may have had a hand, shall we say, in hastening his death.
Are you accusing me of Maxwell's murder?
Could be.
Well, you're wrong.
That's what they all say. But
what do you want?
Your side of the story, Mr. Nelson. Did you ever see the letter Archer Maxwell wrote accusing you of his death?
Yes. James Maxwell has held it over my head for years. But I didn't kill his father. It was an accident. Archer must have been out of his head when he wrote that note.
Just what was in the letter?
Oh, I don't remember the exact wording, but it accused me, all right. Strange part about it, a piece of the letter was missing, torn off.
Did you see the torn piece?
No, but Maxwell had me. He could smash my business and send me to the chair on the strength of that letter. So I kept dishing the money out to him.
How does Carl Streeter tie into the setup?
He and James Maxwell were two of a kind. I don't know what Streeter had on Maxwell, but he got a cut of the money. Fact is, once in a while, Streeter came up here to collect.
Well, thanks, Nelson. That's about all.
Ain't it funny, Johnny? Even an old hotel room like this seems good to get back to if you get tired enough.
Yeah, just like home if you're up with your rent. Johnny Fletcher speaking.
Oh, hello, Mr. Fletcher. This is Cornelius Batt. I have some good news. I saw some of the girls, and I have quite a few nylon orders for you. Could you come over right away?
Thank you very much, Miss Batt.
I'll be looking for you. Come as soon as you can. Goodbye.
Bye. That Spatz character wants to see me right away.
I knew what the dames felt for you, like they all do. You ain't going, are you?
Not a chance.
Hey, how's about me going to get them orders? Is she a good looker?
Say, now you got something, Sam. We'll both go in, and if she doesn't recognize you either, we got nothing more to worry about.
Now, please, Johnny. I was only kidding. I don't want to see her.
On the way, we'll pick up the enlargements of those microfilms. Come on, you big...
Sam, you're about to lose those pictures.
Shove them down further in your pocket.
Yeah, yeah, I'll watch them. Johnny, I'm worried. By yourself, this fat stain didn't recognize you. But the both of us together like this,
forget it. Let me do the talking.
Don't I always?
Oh, do come in. I've been waiting for you.
Miss Spatz, may I present my friend Sam Cragg?
How do you do, Mr. Cragg? It's indeed a pleasure.
It sure is. Get those hands up, both of you.
Hey, what is this?
It's the Larwood. Priscom Riley. I'll keep them covered. There, the cleaner.
Hey, what is all this about?
We're arresting you two for the murder of James Maxwell and Carl Streeter.
Who says?
I do. I definitely saw you do it. You thought I didn't recognize you when you came snooping around the other day, pretending to sell nylons. I'm not that stupid.
And I thought you liked me, Miss Spatz.
Don't be absurd.
I'm afraid all those crime stories you write have gone to your head.
Please get these men out of here, officers. I have work to do.
Sure, lady. Put the cuffs on them, Riley. Let's get moving.
Now, just a moment, officers. Miss Spatz, you know we didn't kill Maxwell and Carl Streeter.
Tell it to the judge. And don't forget, fella, anything you say now will be used against you.
Ah, the trouble is you have too much imagination, Miss Spatz. Or may I call you Mrs. Maxwell?
How dare you say such a thing?
Oh, I'm impulsive that way. Officers, I'll leave it to you. Sam, give me those photographs. Here, take a slant at this. It's a photograph of the marriage license of Cornelius Spatz and James Maxwell.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, suppose Mr. Maxwell and I were married. What of it?
Nothing. Except that you would have cause to become very jealous when you imagined your husband was falling for Hilda Nelson.
Well, he was falling.
Maybe so. But Hilda Nelson's a swell kid. Your husband couldn't get the first base with her.
It's beginning to look as if you're the one who has too much imagination, Mr. Fletcher.
Oh, no. The fact is, you've been masterminding the blackmail deal against Hilda and her father for years, and you were getting fed up with having to split the dough three ways.
Everything you say is absolutely absurd, Mr. Fletcher.
Oh, no. You really worked it out slick, Cornelia. You took the apartment next to your husband so you could keep everything under control and still not be suspected of anything. Then...
Officers, will you please take these men away?
Lady, looks like that guy's got something. Go on, Bud.
Well, Cornelia, you were scared of being tied into the deal if anything ever went wrong, so you had a copy of your marriage license made on microfilm and hid it in the chamber of the gun. Then you destroyed the license. Now look at this other film, officer.
What's it all about?
It's the photograph of the original letter that Cornelia and her playmate blackmailed Hilda Nelson and her father with. It was made before the corner was torn off. You see, the letter actually clears Nelson of any suspicion of killing Archer Maxwell. That's why Archer wrote it. But the way it's worded, with the corner missing, it becomes a perfect accusation.
Gee, Johnny, you never cracked to me you had this all figured out.
I didn't, till we picked up those film enlargements on the way here.
What's all this leading up to, Fletcher?
To the fact that Sam and I didn't kill James Maxwell and Carl Streeter. It was Cornelia Spatz.
I did not. You can't prove that I did.
How do you think she killed him, Bud?
Oh, that little fracas Sam and I had with Streeter. Thinking he was Maxwell was just what the doctor ordered for her. She waited till Carl Streeter had gone, then she stepped across the fire escape to her husband's apartment and shot him.
But what about Streeter?
Oh, she got afraid of what Streeter might say if the cops picked him up. So she went to his apartment and killed him. That's right, isn't it, Cornelia?
Here's my answer to that.
Get her gun, Sam!
Oh, let go of me! Let go of my arm! Oh.
Well, sister, that settles it. Same as a written confession. Put the bracelets on her, Riley.
Oh,
nice going, fella. You've done some nice figuring on this one.
Thanks. I'm sorry it had to be a dame.
Before we return to Johnny Fletcher and Sam Cragg, we pause again to mention that this is the spot where you present a final brief sales message. Now back to Johnny Fletcher and Sam Cragg. They have just entered their hotel room.
Sam Cragg speaking.
Oh, Sam, this is Hilda. Dad and I just heard the wonderful news about what you did. We're so happy.
Oh, there's nothing.
Sam, Dad and I were just wondering if...
Sam. Hold the phone, Hilda. Go away, Johnny. You're bothering me. Yes, Hilda, go on.
Well, Father and I want you and Johnny to come over and have dinner with us.
Why, sure. Love to, honey.
Sam, no.
Just a moment, Hilda.
Listen, you dope. We're invited to the Nelsons for dinner.
Eat. E-T-E-E. Remember?
We can't go.
What's the matter with you, Johnny? Why can't we?
Because there's a dead guy in our closet.
Uh-oh. Here we go again.
Be sure to be with us next week when we bring you another best-selling Johnny Fletcher mystery by Frank Gruber entitled The Mighty Blockhead. And starring Albert Decker and Mike Mazurki. Tonight's story was The Navy Colt. This program was produced in Hollywood's Radio City. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.